like to invite you this morning to consider with me for a few minutes the question of what is a legacy? What is a legacy? The number one dictionary definition of a legacy is has to do with money or things, material things or money that is left and therefore inherited by someone else. I wonder if when you and I think of a legacy, if we think of it in that way or also in other ways in our lives. Perhaps if we are not millionaires, we don't think so much about leaving a lot of money for someone behind us. And maybe we think about some other things that we might leave behind. Keep in mind this question of what is a legacy, and I'd like to tell you a story about someone's life. First, remember that we are on a Roman calendar, right? So the year 1 is the year when Jesus died. And in the first 70 or so years after Jesus died, the story of his life was told by word of mouth and coming down from those who followed him when he was on the earth. And then it began to be written down around 70 A.D. and maybe until about 110 or 120 A.D. It began to be written down, the Gospels. And the epistles came a little bit later than that. And so then just 160 years after the Gospels were written down, a boy was born in a little place called Patala, I think, on the coast of Turkey, on the coast of what we now think of as Turkey. It was a Greek-speaking community and part of the Greek Empire, and we look at it now as Turkey. And so this young boy was born in the year 260, and his parents were followers of the way. His mom and dad had learned about Jesus and were following in the pathway of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. Christianity wasn't even so much named anything yet. The church wasn't truly formed as it is now so much, even though there was a small leadership coming out of Rome. So Jesus had said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And people who followed him were called followers of the way. So we know this boy was born in 260. We know he was named after his uncle. And we know that when he was a teenager, there was an epidemic and it killed his parents. And we know that his parents had some money. So even though they died, he did not become an orphan. He could still be self-sufficient because of the wealth of his parents. And his reputation was that he was willing right away to share his wealth with others. He was known as a kind person. And, of course, one might think that your parents dying when you're a teenager is the most remarkable thing that happens to you in your life, but something else remarkable happened to him. Before he was grown into an adult, we don't know what year, but we're assuming when that means between 17 maybe and 20 or 21, but sometime during that time, he was chosen to be a bishop in the church. And this was kind of astonishing because he wasn't a scholar or a religious student. His uncle that he was named after actually was a bishop in the church. So the question is, you know, did he get selected as a bishop because he was wealthy, because he was kind, because his uncle was a bishop? I mean, he wasn't even a priest. And so the Rome and the Pope had nothing to do with choosing bishops at this time in history. The people knew that they needed a bishop, meaning probably that someone died or couldn't fulfill the office. And so they said, okay, who can we pick? And we'll pick this young man. His name, of course, was Nicholas. And his uncle's name was Nicholas. And so he was part now of a family of bishops, two bishops named Nicholas. And I could hold in one hand the facts that we know about his life. We know when he was born and when he died. We know that his parents died, that he was selected to be a bishop. And we know that he went to the Holy Land. And the reason we know that is he got on a boat and went over to the Holy Land because he wanted to follow the steps of Jesus. And so he did a pilgrimage like many people, even unto this day, do, and walk in the steps of Jesus. And then he got on the boat to come back to his home. And coming back in the boat, a storm came up very quickly. And everyone felt that their lives were at risk. And so he was, I believe he was bishop then, but I really don't know. Nicholas got on his knees on the boat and prayed for his life and for the life of all the sailors. And it is recorded historically that the storm abated after his prayer. And so he was marked as someone who caused a miracle to happen, that God heard his prayer and the storm stopped and all lives were spared. And because of that one story, he became known as the patron saint of sailors. And many sailors who came after that event happened would pray for his protection, for God's protection, and would give thanks for his faith and that he cared so much for sailors that he saved their lives. There's one other commonly told story that is perhaps more legendary. We don't know this to be true, but it's commonly told. And that is that in the little community where he lived, there was a poor man who had three daughters, and they were all three of an age to be married. And the father could not afford to pay a dowry. And a woman could not be given in marriage to a man unless there was a dowry. Probably sometimes the dowry was a goat or something, you know, or a cow or something, but this person had nothing to give. And so it's said that the bishop of Myra is the region where he was bishop, that the bishop went in the middle of the night, because he didn't want to embarrass anyone, he went in the middle of the night to the house, and there was an open window by the hearth, which kind of makes sense. There's a fire that warms everything. They leave the window open for safety. And he reached in to the open window, through the open window, and tossed three small bags of gold onto the hearth, where the girls happened to be drying out their shoes and stockings. And so these small bags of gold somehow got mixed up there in the shoes and stockings, and they woke up in the morning and there they were, and all of them then could be married. I think I've told you all the facts that we know about this young person, born Nicholas, 260, died 343, in his 70s, I guess. He is remembered by his kindness, and he is remembered as someone who was able to call down or call forth a miracle from God. And he's remembered as a man of faith. And other miracles are said to have happened after his death, some associated with the place where he's buried, some associated with churches that were named after him. So here we are, 1,600 some years later, and a boy who was left without family has a history and a legacy that is known to the entire world, all the world. He is thought of as the Saint Nicholas of the Christmas holiday and Christmas season because of his gift by the hearth and because of his kindness and because of his supposed love for children. It isn't said that he was so wealthy that he left a legacy of money. In fact, it is more said that about how much he gave away of his wealth. Now, I know that when we die, all of us would want to leave banks full of money, sort of like Harry Potter when he sees his vault, right? You're 10 years old and you don't have any parents and you walk into the bank and there's a vault full of money. You have nothing to worry about the rest of your life. And we can't do that. We want to leave them something measurable. maybe a house, maybe some land, something that will always have value. But the story of St. Nicholas tells me that there's something more lasting than money or material goods of any kind, and that is kindness and faith. Kindness and faith are two things that cannot be measured. We can't put them in a bucket. We can't see how heavy they are. We can't check, mark them off. But I would encourage you to think about your legacy as the way that you're able to be kind to others. Never underestimate the value of kindness. Never underestimate the impression that kindness makes. And I would encourage you to think of your legacy as your faith. Being a person of faith makes an impression on people only in ways that you choose for it to impress people, only in ways that you choose to express it. Kindness and faith. Today we're going to demonstrate both of those characteristics as we share with St. Nicholas our gifts for the children in need around this county. But I invite it to be a day to remind us that we can share lasting, immeasurable, eternal gifts in our life every day as we share with others the gifts of faith and of kindness. Amen.